this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry.
My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 45 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This special kind of preseason version of Three in the Box is being recorded Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about contract extensions, NHL rule changes, and goalies. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
And before we get into things, we'd just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. We talk hockey nonsense, mainly wild-centric, and we generally live blog the games, you know, when games are actually going on. So, yeah. We got a lot of news from this past couple months since we did our last show.
Yeah, kind of our own little training camp here, right? We'll shake off the rust here.
Right. Yeah. So you guys' golf game improve over the summer?
I actually did get to golf once.
Nice.
But there was a lot of drinking involved.
So not really that great.
Yeah, so I didn't do much to improve my game, I guess.
You just improve your drinking arm.
Yep.
Right.
Getting ready for the hockey season.
Right. We're there. So, let's roll right into it then, huh?
And so I might as well just jump right into the big hockey news for the day. Well, we got a lot of hockey news, but mainly regarding the goalie situation that the Wild have going on. Darcy Kemper, who had a great rookie campaign, is now he's a restricted free agent, and his agent, he's playing hardball with the Wild Brass. The Wild have offered up a 2-year contract, with the first year being a 2-way and the second being a 1-way. Darcy is asking for a single year 1-way. While it may seem that the Wild are just being stingy and should offer him a 1-year deal, like just to match him, there are other implications. You know, first off, Kemper, he just needs to play this year, and then he becomes arbitration eligible, meaning his payday goes up. And obviously that's a problem for the Wild. You know, the Wild want to lock him up for 2, get that first year of arbitration out of the way, so they can hopefully keep the cost down, and they have a little more cost certainty. And then secondly, because of that, they've got a lot of restricted free agents next year, guys like Coyle, Granlund, Halla, Brodin, Scandella. I think Blum is on there as well. So the Wild really wants 2 years on Kemper for cost certainty. Kemper's agent has hinted that Darcy could play in the KHL next year. I don't know if he's just just adding rhetoric here at this point. But what do you guys think? Will Darcy play for the Wild this season? And if so, what kind of contract do you think he'll sign?
I think the Wild will end up wrapping him up at some point. I thought I had seen speculation that he was asking for a 1-year, $800,000 contract. Somewhere in that ballpark. I doubt they'll give him that much. I could maybe see, you know, a 1-year, $650,000, $700,000. He did play well for him last year. But, you know, the other thing he's looking for is a 1-way contract. So no matter if he's up or down, he's making NHL salary.
Right. Well, and you got to keep in mind that this isn't the first time his agent has tussled with the Wild. He almost became a free agent signing his entry-level contract because he didn't sign right away. And they're trying to get the most out of that. So this isn't the first time, you know, that the Wild have dealt with his agent.
Not the first time to the rodeo with this guy, huh? And basically, you know, with that said, I'm going to kind of maybe have to lean towards, you know, the Wild might want to actually look in a different direction. I mean, if it's this hard to shore him up this time, is he really a promising, you know, future of a goalie? Or every time a contract comes around, are you going to have to fight the guy tooth and nail just to stick around? I mean, right. You do want somebody who's going to be loyal to your team, and
he's only played 1 year, right, essentially, and not even a full year because he
hasn't really proved himself.
He's had concussion issues on top of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm if I'm going to lay a bet down, I'm thinking he's going to miss part of training camp, possibly part of this preseason. And that's for a young goalie, that's not good.
No.
I mean, for any player, that's usually not good because you're not getting reps with the team and all that sort of stuff.
But especially somebody who isn't that experienced with the speed and the pace of the NHL. You
right.
know? I mean, that's, yeah. His agent, I don't know. he might want to think of rehiring an agent as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is getting close to start of the season, and I mean, you know, if the Wild end up calling his bluff, or if he is bluffing about the KHL, all it's going to do is knock down his salary.
So does anyone actually think he's going to sign and go to the play in the KHL?
No, I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't think that he would. I mean, though there's a nice market over there, I mean, it's just the NHL is the NHL.
Right.
There's a reason why guys from countries all over come to play in the NHL.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting. That actually leads us into more goalie talk, as we promised.
Which this could definitely kind of change
what
happens with Kemper.
What would Wild talk be without talk of goalies?
Right,
really.
Right.
So Harding, who's been looking really good on and off the ice, is currently walking with crutches due to a broken right ankle. As of right now, he's out indefinitely. The injury happened off ice in an incident or altercation with a teammate, currently being investigated by the Wild's office. So nothing has been said as to which teammate or details as to how it happened. So question one, part A, any speculation on what teammate? And part B, horse player or something more serious?
You know, I got to say, because of the way they phrased it, they said, an incident or altercation. You don't work in altercation if it's horseplay.
So I'm going to go with Backstrom, honestly. Like, I want my job, and I bet he whacked him with his stick.
So Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding style?
Yes.
So whenever we see Backstrom in the net this year, we gotta call him Harding.
The Finnish Harding?
Tanya
Harding.
Harding.
The Harding.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if I had to guess, you're probably right when you say it wasn't a horse player, and it might have been something that started out as horse play and ended up getting a little serious, but you know, somebody probably tried to kick somebody or somebody swung a stick and hit him on the top of the foot, and I don't know. But that doesn't look well for Harding. I mean, he's got enough problems with other things, you know, to stay in the net.
Can't catch a break.
Right.
Right. I mean,
except for an ankle break.
Or breaking his MCL. Oh. Like in a
man, you are one pathetic loser.
So, second thing, unless Aaron, do you have more to say on that one?
I'm good.
So, when James Shepard injured himself on an ATV, last year, 2 years ago?
Oh, that was a few years ago, yeah.
Right before training camp, the Wild ended up suspending him. You think they'll do the same with Harding?
This sounds like it happened around their facility, so probably not a suspension coming. Not Harding's way, at least.
I could see it. I mean, especially...
Well, if he's injured anyways, I guess it doesn't really matter now.
But if you... I mean, I know me and Kenny were talking before the show, but, you know, if that means maybe not paying him...
So he's not going to get put on the
suspended without pay
on the exempt list. Is that what the NFL is doing now?
Yeah.
Putting these guys on the exempt list.
Well, he didn't beat anyone at least. So.
Right. Well, he got beat.
Or maybe he tried to beat someone and hit a wall with his foot instead. You know. But I don't know. I think he's probably there's a good chance. I'm not going to say it's guaranteed. It didn't sound like it was. All the details were really forthcoming. So who knows if any of that will ever see the day light of day, and I think if details aren't released, we probably won't see him suspended. But if details are released, I could maybe see it happening. You know,
maybe it's Kemper's agent.
That's the thing is, I don't know. So far, everything seems to have happened in-house at their facilities. You know, it's kind of like when I break my kid's arm at home. You know, what happens at home stays at home, you know?
Jeez.
It doesn't have to go on. I'm just kidding. I'm not breaking any kids' arms. But that said, I mean, they'll probably keep this in-house. You don't want a bunch of bad publicity.
You don't
want to
air your dirty laundry.
Right.
You
know, right.
That's kind of what it sounded like Fletcher was saying earlier, is that even once they do find out, he's not going to speculate on anything right now, and even once they do find out what happened, they probably won't say what happened.
Right. But since we're on that goalie tilt, well, we might as well keep the goalie train running. And,
hey, that's right. Somebody was maybe tapping their heels together and wearing the ruby red slippers. One Brizgalla, it's been said, is going to be heading back. Him and the Wild have agreed to a tryout here. So I think that what I've heard is he should be in town tomorrow. Tomorrow for everybody would be Thursday. He'll be in town tomorrow, but then probably joining the team. Tomorrow training camp does actually start.
Correct.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, but he'll be joining the team, it sounds like, on Friday. So now Briz, he was ready to sign with the Wild earlier in the summer, right? But at that point, I guess the Wild, they felt they had plentiful options at the goalie position. But how things change, right? So do you think Briz is at all bitter about them, you know, kind of not choosing to go his direction?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's still getting paid from Philadelphia, so I don't think he really cares. He's looking at a place that by all accounts, he seemed to have a great time in Minnesota. Yeah. Obviously, there's plenty of us fans that enjoyed having him on the team. So I got to figure that he's not really hurt. It's just the business. And he has to realize, you know, they've already got two goalies under contract.
Right.
A third, possibly. That's just the reality of the situation.
I forgot about that whole bio from Philly. I mean, he business literally pulled business. The great rock and roll swindle on them. And, I mean, he can literally go and pick and choose what team he wants to play for and go, you can cut my pay. They're basically still paying me for you guys.
Right. Well, that's making no mention of Philadelphia's terrible defense that certainly doesn't help a guy like Briz.
Right.
I think he's a good goalie, but having a good defense in front of him turns him from a okay goalie to a pretty good goalie. I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know if it changes anything, but
whatever that guy's on all the time, I don't know if he can be bitter. I think he's constantly got the happy pills going.
Don't worry, be happy.
He does kind of wear that smile all the time.
He does. He's got
he
like
does.
A perma smile yeah. on him.
So, well, that said, dude, what do you guys think are the what do you think his odds are that he is on the team come the season opener? You think he'll be starting for the Wild? Do you think he'll be backing up Backstrom? Or wait, sorry, Tanya Harding?
Yeah, make sure you phrase the right Harding with that one.
Right.
You know, if it's an actual tryout, I think he can outplay, obviously, John Curry, who's with him in Backstrom right now. I think he just has, you know, that much more experience than Curry does. Kemper, if they sign Kemper, maybe not, you know?
Well, I don't, for one thing, Fletcher has made it very obvious that this does not affect the Kemper negotiations at all. So it looks like, as much as Kemper's agents, dug their heels in, so is Fletcher, yeah. Which does not sound good for Kemper at all.
Nope.
And making it look a lot better that Briz will actually make the team out of camp.
Yeah.
You know, especially if Kemper doesn't sign soon here, because if he's missing games,
right?
Briz is there. He's playing.
Yep. And Briz is a guy that could probably sit out the entire preseason and jump in for you as a backup, and then even take over as a starter if things go south. Yeah, I guess in my opinion, yeah, I foresee Briz being with the team on opening day, actually. But, I mean, when I look at it, I really don't think that the Wild are going to go for the games that are being played here with Kemper and his agent, you know?
No, no.
No, I think, if anything, they it might even be a nice little FU to Kemper's camp of, yep. You know, well, you know, you want to play hardball, we've got our options, too.
Right.
Or oh, yeah, you want to go to the KHL? Well, we brought a guy who wouldn't even go to the KHL in to replace you.
And he's Russian.
And he's Russian.
And he's Russian. Well, that's it, too, though. Last year, when Briz did come in, I mean, he's already had a chance to start kind of building a rapport with the guys. It's not like they're bringing in some, I mean, yes, he's an older veteran goaltender, but it's not like they're bringing in somebody fresh who doesn't know any of the guys.
No.
I mean, he's already been in the locker room. They've, you know.
He's already been in the playoffs.
And it's not like bringing in Martin Brodeur, who's basically has one foot out the door.
Right.
Briz is still pretty young. He's like 33, so he's not an old guy or anything. Nope. He's a veteran, but he's not an old guy. Yep. I think he's still got several years left in him.
Hey, if Backstrom's still around, I mean, Briz can keep going, right?
Right, right.
So are we going to have the geriatric goalkeeper lineup going on?
That's bad when we're referring to a 33-year-old or a 36-year-old geriatric.
It is.
We ought to just bring back Ron Hextall. We'll get another Philly goalie in there, right?
Nice.
Well, at least we don't have Jose Teodor, so at least we can hang our hats on that. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So more contract news. This was a week or two ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Speaking of another player who was offered an offer from the KHL, Wild inks a 3-year, $8 million deal with Nino Niederreiter. You know, he had a pretty decent season last year, 14 goals, 36 points, 81 games, so he only missed one game. And then he was, you know, a plus 12, fourth on the team. In the 13 playoff games, he ended up getting 3 goals, 2 in game 7 against Colorado alone, including the game winner.
Oh, that's right. Now I'm remembering back to that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 6 points overall in 13 playoff games. I mean, that's almost a point every other game, basically. Yeah,
but in the playoffs, that's, you know, points are harder to come by.
That's huge,
right? Yeah.
So, 3-year, $8 mil. Is he worth that much? Is he worth more? What do you think?
Considering it's still restricted, I think that's a pretty fair contract. And also, it, you know, considering, as I said earlier, we've got so many guys that are coming up, even as RFAs, that having that certainty for the next 3 years on Nino is great. And honestly, I think he's getting paid less per year than someone like Brodziak, and Brodziak stinks. So
tell us how you really feel.
So, I'm guessing it's I didn't see the breakdown, but I'm guessing it's probably 2-3-3.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I think I can't remember what it exactly is. If it's I don't even know if they've said the breakdown, but you know, if it's something like that, that's more than reasonable, really.
Yeah.
The big thing, the only concern I have is that it keeps on growing, because you know, if this is his plateau and he stops here, this is probably a bad contract.
However, I thought you meant like physically growing.
No,
like
he's a young boy. I hope he grows up to be a nice big man.
Now we're talking about young boys on 3 in the box.
But you know, hopefully he keeps on developing as a player, because even though he did well last year, I mean, what, 36 points in 81 games last year, he needs to do better over the full season. And if he can do that and develop, this could end up being a great contract for the Wild.
Well, I think tentatively, I think on one of the depth charts, I saw him as third line. So, I mean, 36 points up for a third line guy for the Wild. I mean, it's not bad.
But for a team that's in desperate need of scoring, I mean, Vanek alone will not fix our scoring.
No, levels. Not at all.
And I got to say, when you watch the Wild, even if he is a third-line guy, you hear his name called a lot. He's always in the play. He's always making something happen.
He is.
No doubt.
So, actually, I think that we kind of got a steal for him. I mean, he may be, you know, a little bit undervalued, basically, to what he actually can bring to the team.
Well, and I think part of it also was he was a little streaky last year.
Yeah.
If he can get a more consistent touch on things.
Yeah.
And I think he can do it. It just if he doesn't, this is not going to be looking like a very good contract.
Well, you did say he was a young boy, right?
He is. I mean,
give a guy 22? A little chance to grow, well, right?
He's like 22, 23.
Hockey fans are special.
Yeah, I don't know. I like him. I'm glad we have him. I'm, you know, 3 years, see how he does. And hopefully we got some actual goaltending that he can play in front of.
Right. Well, speaking of goaltending, this is not really Wild-centric, but the NHL has announced several rule changes for the upcoming season, including expanding the trapezoid by 2 feet on each side, a.k.a. the Brodeur rule. The Brodeur possibly retiring. Let's expand it by a couple feet, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Finding coaches for players who repeatedly dive.
That's awesome.
Granted, I think it takes 2 or 3 diving infractions.
The first one, I believe, was a warning for the player. The second one, I think the player got fined. And I think once you get up, I think it was like the third or fourth.
I think it was the third caused a fine to the coach.
The fourth one.
Yeah. I wish it was a little earlier than that because I think the diving's out of control. But most surprisingly out of all of them, at least personally speaking, they're banning the spinorama in shootouts and penalty shots. As Wild fans, we obviously saw a bunch of spinoramas from the little guy named Pierre-Marc Bouchard.
Oh, Pierre.
how do we feel about the spinorama going the way of the dodo?
I'm all right with it. I mean, it's really, I guess, kind of tough to see, too, if the puck's continuing that forward motion from either way, and I think that's kind of been a huge debate with the spinorama is, does the puck continue on that forward path, or does it, you know, end up going backwards at one point.
And on some of them, it does look like the puck goes back.
Well,
and not just a drawing back for a shot. It looks...
Right. And when you're spinning in a 360-degree circle, it's got to loop back somehow in there. So technically, yes, the puck has started moving back in the other direction.
Possibly, unless you use that puck as a pivot point as you're going around.
Right, right.
That said, what's next, though? Are they going to have to make sure that the guys come straight on between the two circles, in between the hash marks? Because really, if they're coming in from the side, if they do any stick handling and draw that puck back out, it's heading the wrong direction.
Well, and we saw that last year with, I believe it was Kane during the shootout, mm-hmm. during the regular season. He did exactly that, where he basically drew it back for the shot, but that drawing back was enough to... basically deke out whoever was in the net at the time,
yep.
And it was a goal. But it looked like puck stopped, got pulled back, which I've always read is basically not really within the confines of the rules.
Right.
But they seem to have a pretty lenient stance on that type of stuff.
Yep.
Here's a thought. Let's get rid of the shootout and just have it for the penalty shots. We will hardly see it, and it shouldn't even be an issue.
I don't know. I like the shootouts. No, it gives a definitive end to the game. I don't want to.
I'm not European. I don't want a tie.
Yeah. You want a bow tie, right?
A bow tie.
Oh Lord.
Good grief.
I don't know any of the other rules that you guys have seen that yay or nay on.
I know they were looking at adjusting the. I believe it was the penalties for roughing or game misconduct.
Yes.
And putting those in the same, basically like clipping, charging, elbowing, interference, headbutting, kneeing. Those will go into physical fouls, and if a player gets 2 of those in a season.
Automatic. In a game, it's like automatic game misconduct.
An automatic suspension for one
game.
Oh, yeah. Suspension, yeah.
So I'm happy about that. I think of someone like Nazem Kadri,
yeah,
on Granlund and on
Backstrom
last year. That would be a perfect example of an automatic suspension.
You know, the one that I like is the video goal judge getting a little bit more power. Because how often did we see the Wild get screwed on both ends of it from either getting... Well, I was just looking back at some of our pictures against the Colorado series in general with the goalie interference by Granlund, who wasn't even touching them,
right.
And then the non-goalie interference where, I don't remember.
Holla?
But
Holla, sorry, yeah, on Holla. And then the non-goalie interference where basically our goalie was getting shoved out of the net.
Are the penalties themselves going to be reviewable then?
I don't think so.
You know,
yeah, because usually the penalties aren't reviewable. It's just whether or not it crossed the goal line.
I know it was going to be that, and they're going to have a little more scrutiny on kicked-in goals.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that really affected the Wild too much
no.
last year. I think the refs pretty much got things right across the board. I don't remember any kicked-in or non-kicked-in goals that were – called the wrong way. I think they were pretty good on that last year.
New tripping rules too.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, even if you hit the puck first and you're diving after a player on a breakaway, even if you touch the puck first, if your body makes any contact and they go over, it's an automatic penalty.
Well, that and the face-offs on icings. If a defensive team gets kicked out of the center of the dot, the face-off dot, they get a warning. A second time, they get a game misconduct, or not a game misconduct, but a bench penalty. So that's another one just to cut down on the delaying tactics.
I have never, I guess, honestly been real clear about what the rules are and aren't when you're at the face-off dot there.
Oh, it seems completely arbitrary.
Right.
I mean, how many times do we see Koivu get kicked out of the circle?
If you just, like, look over at the ref wrong, it's like, you're out of here. You know what I mean?
We do need some clarity on this.
Yeah, because, I mean, some refs are like, okay, let them play. Some are like, nope, you're out. Nope, you're out. I'm dead serious. I mean, I don't know if it's we've got too many Finn centers, but it seems like they're all getting kicked out all the time.
Yeah, maybe it's Swedish referees.
Damn Swedes.
Maybe we go to more of a like a basketball type thing and do like a jump puck.
or we throw it
up and let everybody go at it with a high stick.
Or maybe what we need to do is get Jonas Brodin to do the face-offs.
Oh,
because he's Swedish and he won't get kicked out.
Maybe. Or what if we go to the old like floor hockey style where it's click the three stick or click the sticks three times and
one,
then go
two three go. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, that's good stuff.
And then the puck out of bounds also has changed.
Yeah.
So basically if you're in the offensive zone and it looks like you're trying to shoot at the net, deflection happens or whatever, you're not necessarily going to get penalized by having the puck come out of the zone. So,
which is good.
And then apparently they're making the hash marks bigger, wider, which I don't understand why that makes much of a difference, but international markings.
Well, because really I think the hash marks are where the players are supposed to be lining up. So if you widen the gap there, because how much, you know, besides at the face-off dot, how much extra play is going on around there? Smacking sticks, you know, bumping elbows before the puck even gets dropped, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, so lots of new rules.
No doubt.
So the next topic that we have to talk about here is a little bit more of a somber note. Bob Suter, father of the Wild defenseman Ryan Suter, member of the famous 1980 Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice. We found out a little over a week ago now that he passed away from a heart attack. So I guess I'd just like to have a moment of silence. All right.
No, it's a real bummer.
Yes.
Is he 56?
57. Yeah.
That's awfully young.
It's real young.
You know, and aside from, obviously he's the first member of the first player from the team, because obviously
Herb Brooks
had passed away. So, yeah.
It is unfortunate. And I believe the last Olympics, he actually stayed home as well, didn't go see his son play, because all the security concerns that were going on in Sochi there. So now he's never probably even going to get to see his son win a gold, because the U.S. is going to win gold next time, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not, then?
Why not?
Yeah. Not to steal from the Colorado Avalanche from last year.
You know, he wasn't the only one that ended up staying home, though. I think Suter actually was at the request of Suter that his family stay back.
His family stay, yeah.
With all the...
And that was actually commonplace amongst a lot of players. I remember we had that discussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a few more topics, and I think we'll just touch on these real quickly. I don't think we need to beat a dead horse.
No.
One of the top ones left, we've got Derek Bougard's drug suppliers both being arrested. The ones being that were accused of having provided him with, I think it was something like hundreds of Percocets.
One was a doctor who was writing the scripts.
Yep.
And then he was basically writing the scripts to a
former player
that
he had worked with.
Who was WHA or
And who was living in Long Island and supplying them to Derek when he was out in New York. And that's the drugs that they found on him.
So, that's what leads back to him at the current time. I mean, did the problem stem back though long before that? I mean,
right. Because odds are someone else was supplying them before them.
Right.
They just happened to be the last ones caught supplying him.
These guys. So with that said, was it a wrongful death suit or something against them or what?
I think the doctor is basically risking losing his licensure.
Right.
And the other guy.
Well, that should happen anyways for writing.
I think the wrongful death would be a civil suit.
Right.
And this is actually a criminal.
Okay.
Criminal suit.
This is criminal. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically it's not going to, I don't know that they're not going to get them for like murdering Bougard or anything like that.
Right.
It's basically all on them for their actions in selling the drugs and obtaining them.
This is taking place in Minnesota, correct?
I believe it's federal.
Is it federal?
Yeah.
Because I know Minnesota, there was just that kid convicted of basically, as a supplier, some girl OD'd on his drugs. And
it was like out in Anoka or Blaine or something like that.
Yeah, and he ended up getting, he actually, I don't remember if he took a plea deal, but they were charging him with murder.
I think it was manslaughter.
Was
Or involuntary manslaughter or something like that, yeah.
But I mean, if that's the case, if that is not federal, which I'm guessing it is, being it's crossing state lines, there's a good chance that Minnesota, being that it happened here, could bring them up on the same charges.
I can't say that because somebody buys drugs from somebody else and they use them in whatever recreational way they like to use them, that I don't find a dealer to be responsible for their death. I don't think that
the charges right against there. Them actually seem kind of weak. Hart, who is the former player, he's charged with conspiracy to distribute and possession with intent to distribute. And then Johnson, the doctor, is facing 26 counts of distributing and possessing with intent to distribute, and one count of making a false statement.
He's a dope dealer.
So these are obviously they're felonies and what have you, but they're more slap on the wrist than a murder charge or anything like that.
You'd be surprised with those drug charges these days.
Yeah, this
they'll
is true.
They'll serve more time than somebody who's murdered somebody. So
yeah,
maybe they should wait. Just give me the manslaughter charge, right? Oh, so, yeah.
In other news, the Wild prospects played in Traverse City in the prospects tournament that ended yesterday. They did not do very well. I think the final game, the championship game, was yesterday. Columbus, I believe, won.
Yep, Columbus won that one.
They went 2-2. Lost to Columbus, beat St. Louis in OT, got smoked by Detroit, and then ended up beating the Rangers. So.
Yeah.
In the Gordie Howe division.
Hey, you can't win them all.
No, you can't. It is prospects. So,
did they earn their patches or what?
Yeah, some of them did. It could have been worse. It could have been obviously Buffalo, they don't have a team, and apparently their prospects aren't very good because they were 0-3-1.
Yeah, not good. That's not good when you're rebuilding and your prospects do so poorly at the prospect tournament.
You don't have much to rebuild on that.
Yeah, that's...
I think they're going to be banking on some number ones for the next few years here.
Maybe they need a new stadium.
In Hamilton, Ontario?
Yeah.
That would work out great.
Right. That's close enough to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Canada wants another team, right? So...
Well, hey,
two birds, one stone.
They would fit right in with Edmonton and Toronto right now.
Right.
So that was the prospect, Ernie. Like I said, could have done better, could have done worse. At least we're not Buffalo.
In other news, one other signing we had was Fontaine.
Fontrain.
Fontrain.
Jump on the Fontrain.
Yeah.
Fonzie.
He woo, signed woo. What a, we need a looks like a,
we need
a one.
We need a horn for Fontrain.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah,
you're looking for a choo-choo like train. A,
woo woo.
So it looks like
that's only in the mountain.
Oh man.
Woo woo.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
If anyone doesn't know, we're talking about Bub Rub. And Little Sis, I think, is what they were called. If you search for Bub Rub, I think you'll
whistle
find it.
Tips.
Whistle tips. If you search for Whistle Tips, you'll definitely get it. But what you're saying, yeah. Fontaine signs a contract.
Fontaine, yeah. A couple year, worth about $1 million a year. So a couple million.
Very reasonable.
Yep. Which I think is a fair price for Fontaine.
He's an older quote-unquote prospect.
Right.
Because at 26, that's...
You're starting to level off, and you are what you are almost.
Right.
But,
and he had a good year. Yeah. I mean, I think he had, the most goals for a rookie since Gabby. He had a good year.
It's
productive,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get much better than last year. I think he's
right.
He is what he is. Yep. Unlike Nino, where I think Nino will grow.
He's got some upside, Nino does. But, yeah, Fontaine is probably.
You get what you get with him. And he is a little more physical, which is kind of nice because we always need that. We got a lot of skilled guys, but not a lot of kind of grindy kind of guys. So I think that'll be that's a good thing.
So, yeah, I'm happy. Like you said, with the physicality, just somebody that can dish some hits and throw some guys into some boards.
It's awesome.
All right.
I think we've exhausted our topic supply, even though it's been a couple months. But, we figured we had to do a show.
It's been the off season. We got to kick the rust off,
Right.
You know? So.
Well, yeah, something like that.
Thanks for sitting through training camp with us.
Right. Well, I might as well give the closing remarks while I'm at it. This is Aaron, and when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for us, then that is, again, at 3inthebox on Twitter. You can find myself, my personal account, on Twitter, at AaronJNP. And you can also check out my band, which these other two guys, and you can find us at pinrot.com. Jive.
You can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight. Midnight spelled the right way, not the funky way. Or you could just catch me hanging out with these guys once in a while. Or other than that, I'm probably chained to my desk working at my day gig. So
wage slave.
Yep. Got to bring in some cash somehow.
And this is Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. Yeah, I believe that's it for the first show of the season.
Preseason show. We'll be back in a couple weeks or next week or a couple, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We haven't really figured out what our broadcasting schedule is going to be quite like quite yet. It's early in the season, and I know we've got some scheduling issues over the next couple weeks. So,
and we do also, we might want to tease this, that we're going to be having a new type of game of the week type system coming up, hopefully a little bit more exciting for everybody, right?
Yeah, because I need to regain my championship and retain it here.
Retainer. He needs a retainer, yeah.
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Have a good night, folks.